Real-time traffic with Kenny Olson.
Who do we want?
Kenny! Kenny! Kenny!
Exclusively on AM 1500, KSTP.
KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
I'm Sherry Preston. Transportation officials in every state have been ordered to inspect all steel and truss bridges similar to the one in Minneapolis that collapsed last night. In the Twin Cities, Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty is promising to find out what went wrong.
We will absolutely get to the bottom of this. There were a lot of decisions made, a lot of judgment calls made, and they're all going to have to be critically reviewed.
The bridge that collapsed has been deemed structurally deficient 2 years ago, but thousands of other bridges across the country have been ranked that same way. We know that four people were killed in the collapse, and ABC's Aaron Katursky in Minneapolis says the search for more bodies, possibly as many as 30, goes on.
We have seen divers bravely and really depressingly go into the water to try and search for the cars that are submerged, search for bodies. It became too dangerous later in the day. The current was too strong. They had to pull the divers out, only making it that much more agonizing for the families who are still waiting for word about relatives.
Among those killed, Cherry Ingebertson, whose daughter and husband you may have heard here on ABC praying for her safe return. As for those in Minneapolis, they are still stunned. This is talk show host Joe Souchere with KSTP Radio.
It's quite astonishing to see that gap in what essentially there is a river valley, and people to this moment are still standing there staring at it.
In other news, at Camp Pendleton, California, a guilty verdict today for a Marine Corps squad leader who killed an unarmed Iraqi man. Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
Sherry, Sergeant Lawrence Hutchins was what some have described as being the ringleader of the kidnap and murder plot. He told his fellow Marines and a Navy corpsman they just had to get away with murder after they pulled an Iraqi grandfather out of his home near Baghdad, killed him, and then tried to cover up the crime by planting evidence on the man. A military jury found Hutchins guilty of a long list of crimes, including murder. Sherry.
Barry Bonds tries to tie Hank Aaron's home run record tonight. By the way, it's Steroid Awareness Day at Dodger Stadium where he's playing. You're listening to ABC News.
Your name means a lot to you, but in the wrong hands, it can mean more to someone else. With Wachovia, if your identity is ever stolen, dedicated fraud specialists will work with you one-on-one to help recover any lost funds. And they'll stick with you until your identity is restored. Protecting your good name. Another feature of Wachovia Free Checking. Stop by, call 800-WACHOVIA or visit Wachovia.com. Are you with Wachovia?
Free Checking is for personal accounts only. Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. Members FDIC.
It's vitamin A.
Vitamins and minerals of Centrum. I've got a big announcement. We've been reformulated.
Yeah! Wait, so we're losing our jobs?
No, zinc. We're doing them better. With Centrum's Better Balance formula, we work together. Like more vitamin C and selenium teaming up for immunity.
Oh, looking forward to working with you, vitamin C.
Of course you are.
I mean, likewise, selenium.
New formula Centrum. Working better together.
From A to zinc.
And 87 in Minneapolis, St. Paul, for AM 1500 KSTP News. I'm Nancy Fox. The word has gone out from federal officials. States should immediately inspect all bridges similar to the 40-year-old steel single arch bridge that collapsed yesterday in Minneapolis. A Transportation Department spokesman says there are about 700 such spans around the country. National Transportation Safety Board Chairman Mark Rosenker is in the Twin Cities to get the investigation going on what caused the bridge to collapse. He says the investigation is underway.
What we're hoping to be able to do is bring together as many of these parts, put them together, as I said, quite similarly to a jigsaw puzzle. And at that point, when we have all of the parts recovered, I believe it will be somewhere close to a year before we get our final report out.
And authorities have identified the four people who were killed when that bridge collapsed. They are 60-year-old Sherry Engebretson of Shoreview, 32-year-old Julia Blackhawk of Savage, 36-year-old Patrick Holmes of Moundsview, and 29-year-old Artemio Trinidad Mena of Minneapolis. 79 people were injured when the bridge collapsed, and police say 20 to 30 are still missing. Chicago Windler's 5 Eyewitness Weather, clear and a bit cooler tonight. 60 tomorrow, sunshine, 87, and cooler on Saturday, only 79, with a chance of some much-needed rain. It is 87 at the Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
Good evening, everyone. 5 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock on your home for the Twins, AM 1500 KSTP. We hope that you have enjoyed and got some great information off the ABC News special. This is the Matt Thomas Show, albeit 90 minutes later than normal, and we will get back to some normality tomorrow at 5:30 when this program goes to the Metrodome, DQ Talk Box, and we'll open up a series with the Twins and the Cleveland Indians. But obviously, of the events of the last 24 hours, we've had to shuffle things around, and we appreciate your support and listening to our coverage here, not only of the events of yesterday, but obviously a lot of the news conferences and interviews that we've been able to get you here on AM 1500. Again, my name is Matt Thomas. Nick Ridley is my producer. I will be with you until 9 o'clock tonight. Dave Thompson is going to help me and jump in with me in the 8 o'clock hour and let him kind of focus more on his thoughts and beliefs of this. Coming up in this hour of my program, we're going to open up here in a mere moment with a visit with the president of the Minnesota Twins, Dave St. Peter, kind of give you a little bit of a sports sense of this, and obviously with what happened last night and how close it was to the Metrodome and the timing of it all. Dave's going to talk about what went through their organization's mind yesterday and what's ahead. And then coming up at 7:35 tonight, in about a half hour from now, a citizen of the Twin Cities, a listener to this radio show, as a matter of fact, and a friend of Nick's, Matt Lundquist, will be on this program. Matt was on the bridge yesterday when things went down. As a matter of fact, Nick, can you help me out here? Is this vehicle still on the bridge as we speak?
It should still be sitting on the bridge, not the part that collapsed into the river, but just before that.
All right.
Parts
so
from in front of him and behind him of the bridge fell.
And there's no possible way to start placing blame on anybody in terms of the infrastructure and whatnot. That's going to be determined for a very, very long time. I just want to give you guys an opportunity to get a little bit of the sights and sounds. We'll obviously get a little bit of a sports angle on this early. But then Matt Lundquist will be with us coming up at about 29, 30 minutes from now to give us his thoughts about what went on in his world as he was just driving home from a day's work or whatever the case may be, and obviously was right on top of things. So Matt will join us in just a little bit. And right now, we are going to say hello to the president of the Minnesota Twins, Dave St. Peter, here on the Matt Thomas Show. Dave, I know it has been a very exhaustive 24 hours for you and your organization.
Well, Matt, for everybody, and obviously, from a Twins perspective, we continue to just want to give our thoughts and prayers to so many people who have been impacted by this. It's a horrific tragedy for our city, for our state, for our region, and we're just as shocked as everybody else, and to continue to applaud the first responders and everybody else who are coming together around this tragedy. It's been a challenging 24 hours, needless to say.
All right, let's go back 24, Dave. Tell me, and again, you obviously have members of your organization that have worked with security and stadium facilities and whatnot. Let's go back to 24 hours. At 6:30, my listeners, people that were at the ballpark listening to my show at the Talk Box, are talking about the sirens and whatnot. Tell me, if you wouldn't mind going back, what you first heard of and what did you as an organization had to do when it came to decision time as to whether to play the game, the parking situation, how to get people in and out. Take us back if you don't mind.
Well, I was actually addressing a group in the stadium and one of our guest services folks rushed in and notified me, and we immediately gathered the senior management staff, myself, Terry Ryan, and Matt Hoyer, head of operations, and some others, and got on the phone with a couple folks that we rely on as it relates to the Minneapolis Police Department or the Department of Public Safety, and tried to get a sense of the gravity of the situation. It was pretty clear from the television reports that this was horrific, and really had to make a decision, understanding that if this would have happened earlier in the day, say 2 o'clock, I think it's pretty clear we would not have played last night. But the reality is it came, at 6:30, 6:40 was when we were made aware of it. We had about, 15, 20,000 people in the stadium, another 5,000 to 10,000 kind of walking in. And at that point, it became pretty clear to us that maybe the worst thing we could do was cancel the game and put those folks maybe in a panic situation, but more importantly, adding to the gridlock around this area, understanding the proximity of this disaster to the Metrodome. And then lastly, I think, is the reality that I don't think we wanted to add a significant number of onlookers to those first responders. We wanted to make sure they had access to do the job they needed to do last night. So we decided to play, as difficult as it was, and as an organization, I can tell you that was not an easy decision. I think it was the right one, but we played the game. We tried to buy some time for those folks to do their jobs and move forward. Meanwhile, we did decide to postpone today's game. It would not have been right to play baseball today, and it also wouldn't have been helpful to those folks dealing in the first 24 hours of this aftermath, dealing with additional traffic downtown. So we think we made the right decisions. We tried to be sensitive and certainly it's put a, it's put everything in baseball in perspective in terms of what's really important in this life.
So ultimately, you could have canceled the game if you'd wanted to, but you just felt like that since everybody was there, as close as it was to the 7:10 first pitch, those that were in attendance were basically there around the building as it was just safer to play the game then.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the folks that were in the ballpark, of course, were no immediate danger, and it was going to, if nothing else, it was going to assist MnDOT in terms of trying to determine alternate routes to get people home. So we think it was the right thing to do, but you're right. That decision is really in the Twins' control. Major League Baseball clearly will support what the home team does, as they have supported our decision to postpone today and as well as the decision to play baseball this weekend.
Tell me what the reaction was, and obviously reading some of the quotes from the players and the manager, and Gardy talks about that stretch going on every day to and from work. What were some thoughts out of the clubhouse before the game?
Well, it was great concern. Our players are just like anybody else. In their case, they have loved ones who are often traveling to the ballpark about that time to come see us play. And, you know, there was a couple players that were unable to reach their loved ones until, I think, the third or fourth inning. I think Mike Redmond being one and Torrey Hunter being another. And there was great concern. Gardy and his coaches, I think, make that trip every day, as mm-hmm. does Jerry Bell. So a lot of people make that trip, and they understand it. So, yeah, there was great concern. And, in a perfect world, we wouldn't have played. But I think last night playing the game was the responsible thing to do as it relates to what was going on with the tragedy, and that incremental traffic I don't think would have been helpful.
Dave St. Peter, team president, Minnesota Twins, joining us here on the Matt Thomas Show on AM 1500 KSTP. So, Dave, as we're all inside watching the events on television, watching the game on the field, MnDOT then comes in and says, here's our traffic flow situation, because obviously that was a major thoroughfare for a lot of us to get to and from the Metrodome.
No question. And, this is something that we're going to be dealing with for those of us who live and work in downtown Minneapolis and attend sporting events. This is not going to be a weekend issue. This is going to be probably a two-year issue in terms of dealing with that. So MnDOT had some time to sort that out last night, but we worked to get the word out to folks. And, clearly in that type of a situation, people are understanding and patient. And it's going to change the way we travel throughout the the Twin Cities, because that is such a major thoroughfare with, 140,000 people a day traveling that stretch of road.
Yeah. Now, I was told even a couple of people called the ticket office to make sure people were picking up tickets, because there was obviously going to be some people driving that part of the freeway that were on their way to come see your team play.
There's no question that we did get those calls, and, obviously we're able to, I think, confirm in many cases that they were picked up. The other thing that contributed to that confusion was certainly the lack of cell phones. Cell phones were we were encouraging people not to use them. Of course, they weren't working for a good portion of that early part of last night's game.
Yeah.
And, that's certainly a huge thing weighing on our organization, is just the reality that, this happened in conjunction with our ball game, and the reality that I think very well could be, a lot of people who were traveling here to come to a ball game were impacted by this.
You mentioned you have, obviously, security and stadium folks. You never can prepare for this. You can do all the fire drills you want to, but there's no, nothing beats the live time. I mean, you have to make decisions in a split second. You just can't dress rehearse the situation, can you?
You're correct about that, Matt. You try to make the best decision based on the information that you have at the time, and we really have leaned hard on people that we deal with as it relates to the Minneapolis PD or the Department of Public Safety, and trying to do things that are responsible to the situation. Once again, we're reminded there are things far greater importance than the Twins playing the Royals or even the Twins playing the Indians this weekend. At the same time, those consultations did lead us to the decision to play this weekend. I think the immediate challenges with traffic around that area have somewhat stabilized. I think it's going to require more people to take more time to get to games, but in some way we're hoping that we can maybe start the process towards returning to some level of normalcy this weekend by continuing to play baseball and taking on the Indians at the Dome.
Is it safe to say that you guys kept a close eye on the traffic around the stadium this morning to kind of see how things were going to go in preparation for this weekend?
Yeah, I think with morning rush hour, we kept an eye on that, and certainly, we once again consulted and watched the situation closely. But, at some level, you have to understand it's going to get marginally better here. It's going to take this is not a matter of days or weeks or months. This is multiple years in terms of correcting this, and I think we're trying to keep that perspective as well.
You know, we were all supposed to be at the groundbreaking today. Obviously, that's going to take a back seat as well. But, you know, I know there's so much anticipation for that. Have you guys come up with a date as to when we're all going to get together again and get that first shovel of dirt taken care of?
We haven't, Matt. We really tabled those discussions for right now. I suspect that we'll address that in the next week to 10 days. But today has been a day to, remember those who've been lost, to think about those families. And we've tried to, obviously make plans as it relates to what we're going to do this weekend, as well as the announcement that the today's game will be made up as part of a day-night doubleheader on August 31st. So as we've dealt with those, as we get through the weekend, and as we continue to heal the community, at an appropriate time, we'll come forward with plans about a rescheduled groundbreaking. It wouldn't be appropriate today.
As a newcomer for me, Dave, I had some interesting trials and tribulations driving out of downtown, with my normal route. What are you advising people that are coming to the ball games, not only this weekend but the rest of the season? Is there a new strategy, or is it just one less way to get to the ballpark now?
Well, I think that that's going to evolve. Clearly, we're going to encourage people whenever possible to use public transportation, and we anticipate having incremental discussions with Metro Transit relative to perhaps some shuttles and some things like that down the road here, particularly for big weekend series, et cetera. I think that, MnDOT has, on their website, has tremendous information relative to alternative routes, whether it be Highway 280 or other ways for people to navigate, particularly from the north. But there's no question it's going to have an impact. And the biggest thing, if you're coming to ball games this weekend, allow for some extra time, because I anticipate travel and those roads to be somewhat congested, as we do anticipate large crowds for the Twins Indians series at the Dome this weekend.
All right, Dave, anything else you want to get along to the audience before I let you run?
Well, no, just we've heard from so many fans who have weighed in relative to play or no play. I just want to thank everybody for taking the time to weigh in with the team. We try to make the best decisions for your community and for your organization, and we're very, very appreciative of all the support we've received.
All right, Dave, thanks for the time. We really appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, Dave St. Peter joining us, team president, Minnesota Twins. Just to kind of give you a little bit of a baseball perspective on what had happened, obviously, with their decisions and what went through the playing of last night's game, the cancellation of today, and then again, that game that was scheduled for 12:10 this afternoon will be made up as part of a day-night doubleheader coming up, I believe he said, to August the 31st. That's the next time the Royals are in the Twin Cities. Our time is 7:17. We have an open line segment coming up. And then we're going to spend some time at about 7:35 visiting with Matt Lundquist, who is a friend of Nick's, my producer, and was on the bridge. And instead of me trying to elongate what his story is, I'll let him tell the story and take it back a little bit. So Matt will join us coming up in about 50 minutes. If you want to get something off your mind, your thoughts about the whole 24-hour stretch, it's kind of funny, Nick. 23 hours ago, we were arguing about Johan Santana's comments. 48 hours ago, we were talking about Kevin Garnett leaving town and going to play for the Boston Celtics. And let me tell you something, friends. I am a huge sports fan, but it doesn't seem nearly as important now than it did 23 and 48 hours ago. Does it to you?
It's unbelievable how quickly your priorities are set straight,
And it'd be nice to talk some baseball tomorrow, to get back and start doing some things and having some people tomorrow in the ballpark cheering.
And for all of our listeners from last night, of course, we took Channel 5 coverage of the entire
team,
about 6:20 all the way through today. And one caller I had, how come you didn't play the Twins game?
Well,
one.
That one caller has his,
supportive.
Yeah, that one caller doesn't have his priorities in line. All right, let's open the phones up if you'd like to visit. Really, this is something that, as a talk show host, and I've been a reporter for 15/16 years, I have been through these catastrophes before in terms of not necessarily bridges collapsing, but other things that have happened. And really, I cannot lend any more expertise or thoughts or belief than you guys can. So if you want to give us your two cents about anything that you, over the last 24 hours, 651-646-8255 is how you reach this program. 651-646-8255. If you're listening to us toll-free, outside the Twin Cities, we'll pay for the phone call, 877-615-1500. It's 7:19. It is an alternate time edition of the Matt Thomas Show. We're here until 9 o'clock. Dave Thompson steps in with me at 8, right here on your proud home for Twins baseball, AM 1500 KSTP.
You got a lineup yet?
Yeah. We do.
You sound pretty excited about it.
Unedited.
I'm not for sure it's going to last, but I wrote it down.
Unfiltered.
There was a few people trying to figure out why Lou was trying to deke the runner there with two outs in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, that's why you take your hat off in the dugout.
And unmitigated.
Well, it looked like you were setting up a screen pass.
Well, what did you say?
It's Ron Gardenhier straight up.
He was closer to it than he was earlier in the season when he had the ball land in deep center.
Well, you don't want to get hit either.
The Ron Gardenhier Show, Sunday mornings at 9:30, only on AM 1500 KSDP.
Good fences make good neighbors, a poet once wrote. It's less poetic, perhaps, but I say a good fence just completes a yard, makes a piece of property feel like home. Midwest Fence knows this better than anyone. They're the leader when it comes to selling and installing fences. Even the competition doesn't argue with that. We're talking about over 60 years of taking care of Twin Cities customers. If your company goes back to World War II, you probably have a fair amount of experience. Midwest Fence now presents Trex Seclusions. Privacy, durability, and beauty all in one fence. Trex never needs to be painted, won't buckle, won't warp. More solid than any fence you'll ever find anywhere. That's why it comes with a 25-year guarantee. This is just one type of fence out of scores that you'll find on their 5-acre operation in South St. Paul, Midwest Fence. Call them for a free estimate. 651-451-2221. Call Midwest Fence today at 651-451-2221. That's 451-2221 or go to MidwestFence.com.
Hi, everybody. Ron Shearer here. If you're a pet owner like me, there's one subject we don't like to think about. What happens when it's time to say goodbye? Well, it's never easy, that's for sure, but I do want to tell you about a service that'll help ease the death of your pet. I'm talking about Pet Cremation Services of Minnesota. The folks at Pet Cremation Services of Minnesota understand what it's like to lose a pet. They offer private, same-day cremation services and only cremate one pet at a time. At the time of loss, you can go to their office or they will go to your veterinarian or home to transfer your pet. They serve the entire Twin Cities metro area. Your dog, your cat or any beloved pet will be handled with care. Pet Cremation Services also offers a wide selection of urns for a personalized memorial to your pet. Pet Cremation Services of Minnesota. None of us want to think about saying goodbye, but the day will come, so ease your aching heart. Call Pet Cremation Services of Minnesota at 952-925-1234.
Listen to Inside Twins with General Manager Terry Ryan Sundays from noon to 12:30. Brought to you in part by Twin City Siding Professionals. Twin City Siding Professionals are your James Hardy installation specialists. Check them out at am1500.com, keyword siding.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
You may not think of yourself as being affluent. You may not think of yourself as a high net worth investor. But it doesn't matter what kind of car you drive or the home you live in. If your investments are $500,000 or more, you're a high net worth investor. And one thing we know about you is that there are 8 common mistakes high net worth investors can make without even knowing it. We're Fisher Investments, and we've put together a special free report just for you. It's called the 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them. It's yours free just for calling 1-800-955-1179. Just avoiding any one of these mistakes could help you better reach your goals now and over time. As your portfolio grows and changes, strategies need to grow and change. That's why this is valuable information you must see. For your free copy of the 8 Biggest Mistakes Investors Make and How to Avoid Them, pick up the phone now. Call 1-800-955-1179. That's 1-800-955-1179.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
This is the Matt Thomas Show, AM 1500 KSTP. Dave Thompson will come in and join me for the 8 o'clock hour, and then we'll pass it on to him for the rest of the night. We welcome your input, comments, thoughts, beliefs about now is an event that is 25 hours old. 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. If you want to shoot me an email, it's matt at am1500.com, and I'm very happy to tell you that tomorrow night, when this show resumes at its regularly scheduled time at 5:30, we're going to talk some Twins baseball with a very, very, very important series against the Cleveland Indians, and I believe Johan Santana will take the hill for that one in the Friday opener. The Tribe are in for 4. They won today. And so the Twins lose a half game in the wild card standings, but again, they'll have a chance to make that up in late August when the Royals are here for a day-night doubleheader. But you know what's funny, Nick? And we're going to the phones here in 2 seconds. When I say very important, at least for the next few days, I'll be careful with my adjectives because it just, it's not very important. It's ball games. It's ball games, and we're going to enjoy ourselves. So tomorrow we'll be in a good mood, enjoying the toy shop of life known as sports.
What was the mood like at the Dome yesterday?
It wasn't a big crowd to begin with. So I wouldn't say there was any a lack of buzz, but it was interesting that people would, you know, obviously we're looking around. You know, we were at the DQ Talk Box, and we don't have a television there, so we had our radio coverage. And when you left me to go to Channel 5, who, if anybody's listening that's a Channel 5 employee, you guys did an excellent job. And I'm not just saying that because you're in the building. I'm just saying you kicked rear end. I watched all the shows last night, and you were on top of things. People just wanted more information. And then you throw that in to, you know, Nick, we were so close to the event that we could hear the sirens. A steady stream for a good 30 to 45 minutes. Nothing but sirens. And that just flips you out. And I'll just tell you this, friends, and I promise I'm going to the phones here in 1 second. I have covered, when you have big events like this, sometimes the sports talk guy hat gets taken off and the news reporter hat goes on. I don't do a lot of it. I wouldn't say it's an expertise of mine. But the fact of the matter is, you just have to do it because that's what your job entails. I have covered several news events, whether it was 9/11. As a matter of fact, I had to go to the FBI building in Houston when the planes crashed into the World Trade Center. And I also, and that was spur of the moment, and that was scary because we didn't know who else was going to be attacked. But most of the time when I was in Houston, I had to cover weather tragedies because Southeast Texas, first of all, it's only 30 feet above sea level. So if it rains a lot for 3 or 4 days, it's going to be flooding and a lot of peril in the freeway. The freeways get flooded very quickly. We had Tropical Storm Allison, 5 or 6 years ago. This was a storm, not a hurricane, a storm that literally sat over the city of Houston for 24 hours and dumped 13, 14 inches of rain every 6 or 7 hours. And I had to go cover a church in a low-income part of town that was destroyed by a tornado. And so, you know, at least in those situations, you know it's coming, the bad weather's coming. Here, nobody knew. People, and this is why I'm looking forward to visiting with Matt Lundquist coming up in about 10 minutes. He's just driving along, right? Going about his merry way.
He had an appointment with a client in the area.
Yeah, going on his merry way, and boom. He watches things in front of him just drop. So we'll talk to Matt coming up a little bit. If you guys want to get in your thoughts about this and kind of put a bow tie to this, Dave's going to obviously get a lot to this, and Dave will join me next hour. But we can take your calls now, 651-646-8255, 646-8255, or 877-615-1500. Let's say hi to Marty in St. Paul at 727 on AM 1500. Hi, Marty.
Hey, Matthew. Hey, no way, I was talking to Nick, no way does something like that happen and you not pause and take the opportunity to put life into perspective.
Sure.
When I got home, my wife gave me the biggest hug. I take that road twice a day, and then I just looked at my two boys, and I just gave them big hugs. You know, when you think about what could have happened, you know, it's eerie to have those thoughts, you know, where it's like 10 minutes earlier, 10 minutes later. What about the people who luck wasn't on their
side,
and they made, you know, and just the whole, putting the whole thing into perspective. You know, it's like, so long, Garnett, it pales in comparison when you think about those people that were trapped under there, passing on their wishes to their loved ones through the firefighters, knowing they were taking their last breath.
Yeah, and Marty, here's the thing. Unfortunately, we're in a downtime now with this story, but there's going to be, when that current slows down a little bit, we're going to get a page two of this, and it's going to be a pretty grim, gruesome details. I mean, we're not through with the tragedy portion of this incident.
Well, Matt, I'm not looking forward to that at all.
No, none of us are.
I don't know, maybe it's our society, but the news coverage, we were saturated. But I thought, as a community, we tend to come together. Whenever tragedies like this happen, we come together as a group of people. Humans need each other, that's just it. But the way the people rush down there to help and just everybody's, the way the media handled the situation. Hey, thank you for cutting away last night. It's not that I don't like listening to you, Matt, but...
Oh, yeah. I mean, we you know, there was no question. And, you know, and there's been a lot of joshing about the old station used to carry the games would stop the broadcast for a thunderstorm. And
right.
there's a difference between a thunderstorm and a disaster. And when it comes to a disaster, and this is the, you know, and the Twins were like, absolutely. I mean, there's you just can't put a baseball game in the worst disaster in state history in the same sentence. You just can't do it.
Well, I don't, that's not even, yeah, that shouldn't even be a question on anybody's lips today. But I think as this thing kind of plays out, you know, people kind of deal with the immediacy of the shock, and then they try to make sense of it. And then you start to ask the question, why? Why did this have to happen?
Yeah.
Why were these people needlessly killed? I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, if we can't get a bridge right, I don't know. I'm not sure, Matt. I mean, you see the anger starts to creep up. You're upset that anybody had to lose their life over something.
And what a wake-up call. Marty, thank you for the phone call. I got to get to a news update here. What a wake-up call for the rest of America. I mean, there are cities in this country that are older than Minneapolis. There are bridges out there that are traveled by hundreds of thousands of people in every major metropolitan city. This is just not a mutually exclusive to the Minneapolis-St. Paul area or to Minnesota. This could be happening everywhere. And I guarantee you that if, you know, I'll tell you this. And Nick, I don't know if you got the same calls. I got phone calls and emails and text messages from people I have not heard from in 10 years. I had every member of my family call me. I've had distant uncles call me. I had one call me about 45 minutes ago. I've had high school friends of mine that have called. I've had old coworkers in Florida and Utah and Texas and California call. And everybody is just saying the same thing. It could have happened to us. It can happen. And, you know, everybody's going to have to take a step back on this one. And everybody's going to have to, you know, hope that their legislature and their senators and their people, you know, and their departments of transportation take a step back, because this is, you know, this very well could happen again. Very well could happen again. And it's thrown everybody off. It really has. And that's why it's getting such the national attention, because this is just not an isolated situation where it's only because of the heat or you know, the mechanics of the bill of the bridge and how it was created. And, you know, this could happen tomorrow in any major metropolitan city. It just happened to the one here. It was on a tremendously busy thoroughfare. That's going to be the interesting part. As a new resident of the Twin Cities, I'll be honest with you, yesterday I was flat out lost. When I left the Metrodome, and I normally take a route which includes going above 35 to get over to 94, as I live in St. Paul, it was a train wreck for me. I mean, I couldn't figure out where I was going. I think I made 25 wrong turns. So even, you know, for me that's been here 7 months that thought I knew what I was doing, I didn't. So it's going to take us a long time to get used to it. And that's a thoroughfare that we use. My wife is expecting our third child in late November. We take that thoroughfare to go to the doctor's office. Again, this is just the first 24 hours are nothing. We've got to go over the tragedies of what are going to happen when they finally pull those cars out of the Mississippi. And then on top of that, we're going to have to, you know, find out what went wrong, how to fix it, and how are we going to commute, because, as obviously all of you know, it is such a busy thoroughfare. 7:32 is our time. This is the Matt Thomas Show. We're here until 9 o'clock tonight. And Dave Thompson steps in with me for the 8 p.m. hour. And then Dave, is Dave going to 11 o'clock? Is that what we're deciding on that one? He's going to 12? Well, the young fellow's going to... He's been working a lot of hours, isn't he?
Put in a couple hours extra yesterday till about 5 a.m.
He was here till 5 in the morning?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Okay.
So and Nancy.
And Nancy, too?
Well, I left at 4... 40.
Well, did you mark that on your time card?
No.
Because, you know, we don't want to pay for that extra 20 minutes, for crying out loud.
That extra 20.
651-646-8255, 646-TALK, 877-615-1500. Nancy, the very talented news update anchor here, joining us with the latest on KSTP.
Thank you, Matt. It's sunny and 86, and people continue to flock to the area of the 35W Bridge just to get a look at the destruction. They are being kept at a distance by police, but this situation and what they're seeing is causing some strong emotions to surface.
We're all in awe. We're all shocked. How could this possibly happen in the United States, you know? So it's scary. It's scary. So now when I cross a bridge, you best believe I'm going to think twice. But I know I'm American-made, you know? we're going to continue to strive and do better and learn from our mistakes.
The official death count from the bridge collapse remains at 4, but the Minneapolis police chief says more bodies have yet to be recovered. As many as 30 people remain missing. Nearly 80 have been injured. USI Wireless has announced that it has extended free Wi-Fi service in the disaster area until further notice. And the Red Cross has notified us that they are booked through the middle of next week for people wanting to donate blood. And President Bush plans to travel to the scene of the deadly bridge collapse. The president will be in town on Saturday. Earlier, the president offered his condolences to the victims and says the federal government would help ensure that the span is rebuilt as quickly as possible. Five Eyewitness weather, clear tonight, 60, sunny tomorrow, 87, 79 Saturday with a chance of storms. It is 86 at the Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
Warm weather is right here. The worst thing you have to do in the spring, summer, fall, seal off that deck. That's that deck that's in your backyard. Not to mention the deck or the dock that you have up at the lake. Or maybe you live on a lake. You don't want to sit and seal off that dock. Call SealMax. Write this number down right now. 888-668-6447. Yes, SealMax can seal off your deck and your dock for the lake. Call them and tell them the Rook sent you. You know, I had my deck sealed last year. They did a beautiful job. I'm very pleased with it. I don't have to seal it off this year or next year. Absolutely not. In fact, they've got a 25-year guarantee. That's right. They restore wood to its original natural color, inhibits mold growth, environmentally friendly, so don't worry. Pick up the phone. They're nice people, pros. 888-668-6447, 888-668-6447. When superior performance and appearance are your only option, call SealMax.
Please stay tuned to the following public announcement. The government and private banks are liquidating houses now. These houses have been foreclosed, confiscated, or repossessed, and will be sold. Homes may be sold for very little money down. For a list of foreclosures, call 800-339-1237. All listeners whose last name begins with the letter A through N are allowed to start calling now. Listeners whose last name begins with O through Z can begin calling tomorrow, 9 a.m. Every house must be sold. The government and banks are very motivated to sell these homes quickly, so listings may not always remain available in all areas. So act now. I repeat, this is a public announcement. All listeners whose last name begins with the letter A through N can start calling now. Listeners whose last name begins with O through Z can begin calling tomorrow, 9 a.m. Call CRN's national toll-free hotline for your foreclosure list at 800-339-1237. That's 800-339-1237. The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
This is your home of the Twins, AM 1500 KSTP. Dave St. Peter with us a little while ago to discuss what was going behind the organization's decision to play last night's game and to postpone today's. Back to playing baseball tomorrow right here on AM 1500. Twins and the Cleveland Indians, first of four. We'll have the coverage for you beginning at 5:30 with my show back live at the Talk Box. For my program, 5:30 to 6:40, and then first pitch tomorrow night is at 7:10. 7:37 here on AM 1500. My pleasure to be joined now by Matt Lundquist, who is a friend of my producer's, Nick Ridley. Matt, you have been busy, I understand, the last 12 or so hours.
Yes, sir.
Matt, first of all, let's talk about who you are, and take us back to maybe, say, 5:55 p.m. last night.
Okay, I'm actually a friend of Nick's, Nick Ridley's, and I'm a contractor, self-employed in the Twin Cities here, and I was coming back from meeting with a client in Roseville, and, you know, with the road construction, traffic was moving about 10 miles an hour.
Okay.
And, you know, I was just entering the bridge on the north side, and I felt some shaking for a couple of seconds, and then a big jolt, and, at that time, I saw all the cars in front of me just disappear. And I was about 20 feet away from the brake, and then right after that that initial jolt, I felt a second jolt, and the section of the bridge, a smaller section behind me, collapsed as well, and I was fortunate enough to be on the one side that was still there standing.
So the first jolt, I'm assuming you probably thought to yourself, hey, my car's running rough. Maybe I turn quickly. I mean, or did you think to yourself maybe there was construction in the area and that it forced a strange feeling underneath your car because of a lane closure or whatnot?
Yeah, when I felt that first shake, I wasn't too concerned because I knew that they were resurfacing. And it was the jolt, obviously. That was pretty, it was an aggressive jolt. And then I saw everything in front of me start to fall.
So literally in front of you, things were falling?
Well, and more just, it disappeared because with the jolting, the portion I was on kicked up at about a 10-degree incline. So all I saw, I didn't see the bridge itself falling. I just saw everything in front of me disappear out of my sight.
And did you hit the brakes? Or tell me what you saw.
Well, I was going so slow that I was already riding my brakes. I'd imagine I just hit my brakes, and then I felt that huge jolt. And, that was it. I wasn't moving at that point. But it just shook me around in my car a little bit, and I saw a cloud of dust on the horizon there right in front of me. And I was just waiting for, I just gripped the steering wheel. I was waiting for my section to go next after seeing the cars behind me, my rearview mirror, a second later disappear. And it just didn't happen. So I opened my door and I walked away.
All right, so you get out of the car and take a sort, tell me about your first 15 steps.
In front of me, I couldn't see much of anything, just a couple of cars, and those people were getting out of their cars. I looked behind me and I saw 3 to 4 cars tipped over, and some of them, 8 cars total, some of them sandwiched and, with an upside-down car on top of a car underneath. And I saw everybody's windshields were blown out, and everybody was getting out of their vehicles and seemed a little bit beat up, but nothing too serious on that end of the bridge.
All right. Do you have a cell phone with you? Are you calling 911? What kind of communication are you going through? Are you in a state of shock like, oh, my God, I just saw a bridge collapse?
Yeah, I was obviously in shock. But as I was walking away, I figured I don't need to call 911. I figured, other people would be doing that. And I didn't want to clog up the system, but I did just call my parents and my girlfriend and just waited for the squad cars to get there. And they were there, within a minute.
Did you feel safe where you were once you saw the parts of the bridge collapse? Or did you feel like you needed to get away as quickly as you could and you just didn't had nowhere to go?
Well, no, I got off the bridge. I got off the bridge pretty much right away. I walked off and went to a parking lot about 100 feet to the west of the bridge where it collapsed. And then I just hung tight there, and I definitely felt safe there.
How many other cars were in the exact same situation that you're speaking of?
4 of them. So there was a construction vehicle, but that was nobody was in that. It was just parked over in the construction area where the lane closures were. And there was about 4 of us that were very fortunate. And then back behind me, like I said, there was on that lower collapse portion further to the north, there's about 8 cars back there.
Matt Lundquist is my guest here on the Matt Thomas Show at AM 1500 KSTP. Matt was on the 35W bridge when it collapsed yesterday. What kind of conversation? I mean, what were you mentioned there were 4 other cars and you saw people get out of them. What did you guys even say to each other?
We didn't say much. We didn't say just, you all right? And there was one guy in a lot of pain complaining that his back hurt. And so I just told him to hang tight, but I think he ended up getting up and walking over to the parking lot. He wasn't really in harm's way, but at that point, you want to get away from the bridge. So,
did you smell fuel from vehicles? Tell me what odors were there, if any.
Well, initially, not much. There was a cloud of dust, and but then about 10 minutes later, there was some black smoke, and then those fumes were in the air. Smelled like, cars burning, basically. And I think it was from a tanker that was on fire, maybe. I don't know what the smoke was from. But that was in there then for a couple hours.
All right. Matt, as far as the sounds are concerned, did you hear any cries for help? Did you hear Amy? What did you hear? If not, the conversation with those of you that got out of your cars.
Yeah, that one guy was that I mentioned who was hurt, where his back was hurt. He was laying on the ground, and he was, he was in pain. He was moaning a little bit, but he was fine. He was conscious and, not too bloody at all.
Yeah.
And then I didn't hear any of the screaming that other people mentioned. I was further north of, you know, the real chaos, I guess. And, yeah, that was it for noises.
Did you see the school bus that obviously a lot of us have been hearing and reading about and watching on the television with those kids?
No, I didn't. And again, I was, after the bridge collapsed, the area where my truck was, I was at about a 10 to 15 degree incline. So like I said, everything just disappeared in front of me. And I didn't see the school bus. I didn't walk up to the edge and look down either.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see it. I could about imagine how horrible it was.
Yeah, so you sustained no injuries. Is that correct?
Well, I got thrown around. I smacked my head on the ceiling of my car pretty good, but I'm not complaining. Yeah, I'm sore, but I'm definitely fine.
I have to ask, Matt, you have been on a few television shows across the country over the last, obviously a few hours.
Right.
I'm guessing do you still have your cell phone? I mean, how are people trying to get a hold of you and check on you?
Yeah, through my cell phone. It's been a very busy day on my cell phone. I've had to charge it up a couple times, and that's how people have been able to get a hold of me.
Matt, and tell the audience where your car is right now.
Oh, it's right there on the bridge. I can actually see it from where I'm standing. I'm down. I'm just down here in Minneapolis, and I'm going to finish up the evening down here. And it's still on the bridge, and it's not going anywhere either.
Have they told you at any point or they can try to recover the vehicle?
My understanding is that they're going to total it out, even though it's probably fine.
Wow, I guess that the trip to the car rental place was an interesting visit for you today. And hey, what do you need a car for? My car is stuck on the bridge.
And actually, my parents let me borrow one of their vehicles, for the day and for as long as I need it. So luckily, they had an extra vehicle that I could borrow.
All right. So you tell me, were you on Paula's On Show tonight? Is that right?
They've been showing a taped clip.
Okay.
I guess quite a bit. I actually have not watched the news today, but I know I've been on it quite a bit.
So tell me, Matt, may I ask your age and how often over the years you have been a part of this stretch of 35?
Yeah, I'm 30 years old, born and raised here in Minneapolis, and I drive that stretch anywhere from, five times a week to sometimes only a couple times a month, but it's definitely it's a main artery and one that I use quite a bit.
Were you, when you got behind the wheel today, was it a little bit of a bizarre feeling? I mean, obviously you probably didn't go back to where you were headed, but was it like just getting behind the wheel and actually turning the ignition on in your folks' car?
Well, it, it wasn't as bad as you may think. It wasn't too bad. I just kind of went on, just trying to move on. I'm not, I don't get nervous behind the wheel. Going over bridges, the thought crossed my mind, of course, but...
Yeah.
No, all in all, that's been fine.
And your girlfriend, I'm sure, gave you a fair amount of hugs when she found you last night?
Oh, yeah. She's real happy to see me.
All right, well, Matt, I appreciate your time, and what a strange world that you know Nick and have played softball and done some fishing things with him, and I appreciate you spending a few minutes with us. Thank goodness you're able to talk with us, and let us know about the car. I'd be curious to find out what exactly is going to happen because on all the videos, your car is right out in front there. I mean, it's one of the sights and sounds of this entire event.
I know it. Yep. Well, I sure will.
Thanks, Matt, very much.
Okay.
All right. Matt Lundquist joining us. And it was it's an Explorer or is it an Expedition? Is that what it is, Nick? I think it's one of the two, a Ford vehicle. So if you see that, that's Matt's car. Oof. Got right behind the wheel tonight of Mom and Dad's car. We appreciate Matt spending some time with us. And seemed pretty calm, all things considered. I don't know if I'd be able to come on a radio show or much less national television and explain the story, especially with how close he stared at death's door. I mean, let's be honest.
Expedition. He had an expedition.
Okay.
He's pretty lucky that the traffic was actually as slow as it was, or else he would have been over the river.
Yeah, basically, because he mentioned he was foot pedaling the brake because of the traffic was slow as it normally would have been at 6 o'clock at night on a rush hour.
Right. And basically, if he's 2 minutes behind, he's okay. 2 minutes in front, he's
yeah. Wire story today mentioned Flip Saunders, the former coach of the Wolves, current of the Pistons, was at Tubby Smith's basketball camp and said construction in the area delayed his round. He went a different way and he would have been 2 or 3 minutes either direction. Same situation. So.
You could tell he's getting worn out. He's been talking on several radio stations throughout the country and locally. So, interviewed in the Star Tribune yesterday as well. So, all over the place.
We were talking about 15 Minutes of Fame last Saturday on my Saturday Extra show about, Barry, if you catch Barry Bonds' ball, do you take it, give it to him, and take the 15 minutes? I'm guessing this is not how Matt wanted his 15 Minutes of Fame. I wouldn't take it either. All right, you just heard from Matt. We had Dave St. Peter in the opening portions of the 7 o'clock hour. If you'd like to add any comments about what you've heard, and just general thoughts the last 24 hours, 651-646-8255, 651-646-TALK, 877-615-1500, toll-free outside of the Twin Cities. Our time is 7:49. It's the Matt Thomas Show. We're taking you till 9 o'clock tonight. Dave Thompson will be in with me at 8 o'clock, and then he will take you till midnight right here on AM 1500 KSTP.
I'll never again ask you to pull my finger.
I will never watch another episode of The Three Stooges.
I will always remember our anniversary, and this time I mean it.
You'd be surprised what some guys will do to be able to play a round of golf.
I will go to every chick flick you want to, and I'll like it.
Good thing they don't have to sacrifice to get the best golf advice. Available weekday afternoons at 5:10 from Jock Olson.
I will start asking you if what I'm wearing is okay.
They're quick, they're free, and you won't have to jump through any hoops to get them. Jock Olson's Golf Tips, brought to you each weekday by Federated Insurance.
You know how they say, when you want the best chili, look for the truck stop with all the semis? Well, the same can be said for Gerdin's. Only they don't serve chili. More like bulk mulch and natural stone. And you shouldn't look for semis. More like landscaping trucks. Because you can tell who has the best landscape supplies by how many contractors shop there. And lots of landscape contractors shop at Gerdin's. For projects big and small, just like yours. Water gardens, patios, retaining walls. They've got as many varieties of landscape supplies as they do ideas. Because they have even more staffers certified by the Minnesota Nursery and Landscape Association. Because the horticulturally obsessed love working at Gerdin's. So when it comes to landscape supplies, think of Gerdin's as the truck stop with a great chili. Of garden centers with less gas. Gerdin's, so much more than a gardening store.
With Gerdin's help, you can achieve your dream yard. With so many plants, trees, and landscape supplies to choose from, Gerdin's landscape designers can create a diverse and unique landscape plan that will bring out the wonder in your landscape. Visit Gerdin's Design Center today. To help you get to your next financial level, tune in Tuesday for Tuesdays with Terry for a variety of valuable financial tips from Terry Sanvold, CEO of Sanvold & Associates Insurance and Financial Services Group. Join us for Tuesdays with Terry, 8:10 a.m. and 5:20 p.m. right here on AM 1500.
You save big money, you save big money when you shop Menards.
Stop into Menards where you'll find great deals on quality floor coverings. All special order carpet is 22% off. Menards has over 5,000 styles and colors to choose from, many with attached pad for easy installation. You'll find top brands like Shaw, Stainmaster, Mohawk, Citation, and more. And check out Menards' huge in-stock selection of ceramic, porcelain, glass, and natural stone tile. Choose from many styles, all 20% off. Menards also carries all the tools and materials you'll need to install tile. A wet saw tile cutter is just $49.99. Plus, there's zero interest till 2009 on qualifying purchases with your Menards big card. And while you're shopping, register to win a 2008 Dodge Avenger.
Save big money at Menards.
Looking for the garage of your dreams? That special place, your special place, where you can store all of your motorized toys and equipment? Paul Brand here for Park Place Storage Condominiums, now open in Shakopee and Minnetrista, along with Corcoran, Burnsville, Hastings, and Stillwater. Park Place Storage Condos are beautiful, well-lit storage units that you own, not rent. You're investing in light industrial property that will appreciate in value instead of handing over a monthly rent check. Sizes start at 18 feet wide, 45 feet deep with 14-foot high overhead doors. And each unit has gas, heat, 60-amp electrical service, and secure 24/7 access. So whether you're looking for a place to store your boat, park your collector car, or keep the motorhome out of your driveway, Park Place Storage Condos have exactly the right garage for you. Call Joel Jorgensen at 952-250-2163 or visit online at parkplacestorage.net. Check out the garage of your dreams in Shakopee, Minnetrista, Corcoran, Burnsville, Hastings, and Stillwater. 952-250-2163.
Hey, you want guaranteed results for weight loss? You're not going to be taking a magic pill, eating something that you do not want to eat because it smells and tastes terrible. Not with Slim for Life Weight Loss Centers. You eat real food. Guaranteed results. It's the Rook. 3 to 5 pounds a week. You keep it off while you're still barbecuing, going to the picnics, the parties. You want to lose 30 to 40 pounds in just 8 weeks? Slim for Life Weight Loss Centers. No exercise. You won't be hungry. And Little Miss Social Butterfly here that gets invited to everything else, she's going to tell you where you can find the locations and give the phone number, Ange.
That's right. There's 12 locations now, including St. Anthony, Maplewood, Woodbury, and I think they're open in Edina, Plymouth, and Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for a free no-obligation evaluation, call 952-698-SLIM. That's 952-698-SLIM. Or go to slimforlifetwincities.com, and you're going to save $50 on your full program. Call them now, 952-698-SLIM. Lose the weight. You're going to feel better.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
This is the Matt Thomas Show on AM 1500 KSTP. I was listening to CNN during the brief time in our program. You know, Paul Azan is leaving that network. I should probably turn it down because Larry King is saying goodbye to her.
She's trying to hold back tears.
Is she? What is she going? Is she going to host some, you know, Entertainment Tonight S type show, or is she just doing something on her own?
She's taking time off
to do what?
To do nothing. To be with her children.
I guess when you're making mucho cash like that, you can take time off like that on your own terms. All right. Again, our thanks to Matt Lundquist. Gosh. Again, I think all things considered, I think if you would have called me and said, hey, Matt, do you want to come on the show and talk about what happened yesterday? I think I'd have been a jellyfish. I'd have been squirming all over the place. I don't know if I'd have been able to put two sentences together. But he was able to do it.
I was watching, and I saw, you know, this Explorer expedition on pictures.
And you thought, hey, that looks familiar. I've been in that car.
I didn't even think twice about who it was. I didn't think about who it might be. But now when you look at it, I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's Matt's truck. And it's, you can see that, like you said, the bridge is laying flat, and then the back of it went like that.
Yeah.
The back of it, you know, the rear of his vehicle. And the front was pointing almost straight in the air.
Yeah, unbelievable. And I don't know if you got the phone calls or not, but I've had everybody. I mean, my mother just in a complete panic, and I'm thinking to myself, and maybe this ought to teach us something, that if something happens in a town of which, you know relatives or friends or associates, Minneapolis-St. Paul has 2.6 million people in it, right? I mean, if you take the Twin Cities metropolitan population, give or take. And I was at the Dome. My kids were at home. My wife was at home in St. Paul. We were nowhere, had no plans to get on 35W at all. I'm at the ballpark 3:30, 4 o'clock, so it was never going to be an issue. But it strikes fear in people. One of my wife's best friends was crying on the phone today, just worried, and again, the question is, I told my mother, I said, I'd have called you if something went wrong, or if Kim was around by my wife, or she would have called you. And she said, well, what if nobody would have called? Then the presumption would have been that you guys were all together on there.
Right, but Matt, here, I don't want to be this guy, but you check to see if your family's okay, if everybody's okay, but you can't live like that. You can't live in fear that, oh my gosh,
the bridge
is going to collapse. You can't live like that.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying that's what everybody, when something happens in the town of which you live in, you naturally call people. You naturally just, like, for instance, if a tornado hits Houston tomorrow, my mother lives there, my in-laws live there, my brother-in-law lives there, what am I doing? I'm on the phone.
Exactly.
Calling. Where'd that tornado hit? Oh, it was 75 miles from us. Well, still got a call.
Right, but for people to say, you need to check every bridge to make sure it's okay.
Who says that?
I got calls all night last night.
Did you really?
What if this bridge isn't okay? Well, it's going to be fine.
Well, sounds like Tim Pawlenty's got it.
This is the highest-traveled bridge in the state of Minnesota.
Sounds like our state senators are not messing around when it comes to this. And it's a wake-up call. I mean, unfortunately, tragedy has to come out of this. But the thoughts of terrorism, it boggles people's mind. But it was just, I heard from somebody I have not heard from in 10 years that just heard through the grapevine that I had moved to Minneapolis. And they're calling in. So it's just strange things. You put people together. Haven't talked to somebody in a long time. I have a distant uncle. Didn't talk to him for months. Get calls up.
Now, for me, I thought about who might be in the area. My mom, I know she was going to pick up my cousin who was at a basketball camp. She lives in Connecticut.
Yeah.
she was at Augsburg College, which is on 94, but she was actually at Grandma's, which is on Seven Corners.
Yes, right next to the Holiday Inn Metrodome.
Pretty close. So I thought she might be in the area, but, you know, she turned out to be about a half a mile or a mile away. But
the, what it did for me yesterday was, just for a split second, and again, with me only being here 7 months, I don't know a lot of people, but I thought of everybody that I know, whether they're family or friends, thinking to myself, was anybody in that particular situation? Could anybody that I knew be on 35W at that point? Or the bridge, you know, at that part of the bridge. And fortunately, it took me 2 seconds to realize that everybody was at home. So, what we're going to, the next step is, and I'm sure Dave will talk a lot about this tonight, will be, there's going to be a blame game, clearly, that will be discussed. There will be, you know, what will our government do in terms of spending dollars to make sure the rest of the bridges in this state remain, or, you know, are in good condition, especially with all the lakes. I mean, I don't know what the per capita bridges are compared to other states, but I would presume, because of all the different things in this state when it comes to the amount of water, that there are a lot of bridges more than, say, in Iowa or Kansas or whatever. So that will be discussed. Dave's going to join me for the next hour of the program. You can join us as well. 651-646-8255, 646-TALK. 877-615-1500 is the toll-free line. If you're listening to us throughout the great state of Minnesota or all parts in between, and outside the area. This is KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis. Our time is 8 o'clock, and here comes ABC News. Stay with us.
From ABC News, I'm Bill Gross. Hoping against hope, Ronald Engritzen and his two daughters prayed that his wife, Sherry, had somehow made it through the Minneapolis bridge tragedy.
She's a fighter. My wife's a fighter. And she will do everything she can to work herself out.